lesson in our growth series. We started out growing in grace. Second week, indicators of infancy. Third week, guidelines for growth. Fourth week, marks of maturity. And then last week in our text, we looked at some negatives of growth. Or if we could say it this way, some of God's don'ts. And you remember, just by way of looking at the text, God told us, don't act like sinners in verses 17 through 21. He tells us not to walk as the Gentiles walk. Now, why would he tell Christians not to walk like sinners? I'll tell you why. Because you read the epistles of Paul, Paul is clear that we have the capacity to walk like sinners. Why? Because we are sinners, but we're saved sinners. Amen? And so he tells us not to walk like sinners. And then he tells us not to walk like we used to. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We'll talk about that tonight. If you got saved later in life, listen to me. You have liberty because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You do not have to walk like you used to walk. And I just say, as a preacher of the gospel and as a Christian, you shouldn't walk like you used to walk. There should be a change in a Christian's life. Amen. Listen, this hollow profession stuff, and God knows whether a person's really saved or not, but listen, if you really get saved and the Holy Ghost moves into your life and you allow Him, He will change you. Amen. Number three, don't act like sinners. Don't walk like you used to. Verse 25, don't lie. Tell the truth. Amen. And it says right there in verse number 25, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're part of the same body. Amen. And so to be truthful with one another. Number four, don't end the day angry with others. Say amen, married couples. That was pretty weak. Yeah. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. Hey, listen. One of the things I love about communion. I love communion. One of the things I love about communion, that even when I was just saved and God knew my heart, I was just as wretched as could be, but God saved me. Communion was a forced time to get things right with God. Amen. It was a feast of examination. And when I knew there weren't things that weren't right with God, I didn't want to not take communion, so I'd get things right with God. Amen? When God would bring things to mind. You know, it's supposed to be that way with others. Get things. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed. There's like a cinder block wall between the husband and wife. You know what that is? Foolishness, and all God's people said. Amen. Don't go to bed angry. Don't end the day angry with others. Verse 27, don't give place to the devil. Don't allow him room in your life. Stay close to God. Stay in the Word. Amen. Don't give place to the devil. Don't steal. Verse 28. What's it say there? It says, let him that stole steal no more. Don't steal. Amen. That's a basic one. That's the ninth commandment, amen? Thou shalt not steal. How about don't speak improperly, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Listen, our tongues can tear down and they can tear apart or they can build up. And God says here that we're to not speak improperly. Hey, grandma's advice is still good advice. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything. Amen? Amen? Then don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30. Oh, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I think of how I've grieved the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh, and I tell you what, if you're really saved, you try to walk with the Lord and you grieve the Spirit of God, it ought to do something to you. It ought to bother you. It hurts you if you grieved your mother. It hurts you if you grieved... I remember I was newly saved. Oh, I was newly saved. And God knows. You know, God knows. We're trying to serve Him and we still got... I had so much baggage. And I remember I was playing soccer, and I was playing goalie, and we were warming up. And I was looking this way, and goalie would always point for where he wanted the shots to come from. You shoot, you shoot. And I pointed to a fellow over here, and he went to shoot it, and a man over here shot at the same time. Now, I was a decent goalie, but it's hard to stop two at the same time, amen? Well, that ball whistled right past my ear, and I remembered I used the Lord's name in vain. And I'm going to tell you what, I went into the bushes, and I begged God to forgive me, because I grieved the Holy Spirit of God by doing that. Hey, folks, you know what? God understood I was a young Christian, but you know, as we grow in grace, we should be grieving Him less. Amen. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. And then verse 31, so, so important. Don't let sin fester. Why? Because it grows. Let all bitterness, and bitterness turns into wrath, and wrath turns into anger, and anger turns into clamor. And clamor turns into evil speaking. Evil speaking turns into malice, the desire to do physical harm. Listen, just get rid of it at the bitterness stage. Amen? You do that, you don't let sin fester. Well, that covers the don'ts in this text. Amen? The don'ts. But there's some do's in this text as well that we read. Some positives of growth. We looked at the negatives and those are good, and we certainly ought to incorporate those. But let's look at, if we could, at six positives tonight, okay? Six positives. The first one is found in verse number 23. Look at it with me if you would. We see some positives in our life. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the first positive tonight is be renewed. Be renewed. And it's important to get the context of verse number 22. It says, you put off the former conversation. That's what we used to do. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And that's the way we used to think. See, the thinking before you were saved is full of deceitful lusts. Now here God says, it's not enough to just get rid of those deceitful lusts. You've got to replace it by renewing in the spirit of your mind. You've got to replace. See, folks, the mind is the front line of all spiritual battle. It's the mind. It is in the mind. Satan's battle is for the mind, because you listen to me, when the mind gets weary, the body will fall. It's a front line. So he says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You read John chapter 3 as Jesus talked to Nicodemus. He said that everyone that is born of the Spirit is of God. See, folks, we're born of the Spirit when we trust Christ. And then later on, when Jesus was talking to a woman at the well, he said, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So not only are we born of the Spirit, but we worship in our spirit. And according to this verse, we must be renewed in our spirit. How do I renew my spirit, Pastor? Well, go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Three things about being renewed. How can I be renewed in my spirit? And the first is what we call a hinge. If you don't get this first one down, don't bother about the other two. Okay? They won't work unless you get the first one. Okay? It's like I've told people about growth. You need to get saved, and then you need to get baptized. You're not going to grow like God wants you to until you get baptized, because it's the very first step of obedience, and all God's people said. Amen. So here, the first thing that God wants, if we're going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, chapter 12, verse 1 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's number one under Be Renewed? Surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. It's not unreasonable for you to surrender yourself to serve God. You know why it's not unreasonable? Because He died on a bloody cross for you. Amen. It is not unreasonable. God does not send everybody to Africa. Go ahead and surrender. Amen. See, that's what, I can't surrender to God. He's going to send me to Africa. I just can't do it. That's the devil. That's the devil talking. Amen. God wants, He tells us, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beg you in view of all God's mercies, in view of all He's done for you, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Surrender to God. If you're going to be renewed in your mind, you've got to surrender to God. Secondly, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Secondly, feed your mind with the Word of God. If you're going to be renewed in your mind, you've got to feed on the Word of God. Say amen. Amen. You've got to feed on the Word of God. You cannot be renewed, you cannot be revived without a steady diet of God's Word. That's number two. Number three, back to Ephesians. Be renewed. How? Surrender to God. Feed your mind with the Word of God. Thirdly, chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's the negative command. But the positive command is just as in force. But be filled with the Spirit. Seek and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Many people do not experience the filling of the Holy Spirit because they don't ask. Many people. Listen, we need to be renewed. How will we do it? We've got to surrender to God. We've got to feed on the Word of God. And we've got to seek and ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. And God will renew us. So be renewed. Ephesians chapter 4, number 2, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. It says, in that ye put on the new man. That's a positive. That's a do. Amen. So do be renewed, positive of growth. Secondly, be putting on the new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Be putting on the new man. Again, the context goes back to verse 22. In that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Okay? Now that's not any sort of derogatory term that some people use of their husband. Amen. It is speaking, the Christian is, when you think about it, the Christian is a spiritual dual personality. See, it's hard for a new Christian to understand that. When you first get saved, you still have those desires, those fleshly desires that you've been giving into all those years. But now you've got the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. And God tells us, you know, you need to put off the conversation of the old man and put on the new man. Look, if you would, over to Galatians. Just take a left there at Ephesians and you'll end up Galatians chapter 5. It's a great, great verse, great chapter. Galatians 5 is a great chapter of the Word of God. But here we find that this old nature that we have, we call it the flesh, amen, and this new nature that we have, which is the Spirit, they're always at war. Always. And you know what the flesh wants? The flesh wants what it wants, and that's what it wants. It never wants what the Word of God says. It never wants to deny itself. It wants what it wants. But Galatians 5:17, you see this right here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It says there's a spiritual struggle going on always between the flesh and the Spirit. And by the way, that's why we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Why? That we could properly fight against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us. So, talking about putting on the new man. And then it says at the end of, back to Ephesians chapter 4, the end of the verse, putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Those are Siamese twins. They're very interesting though. Righteousness is our behavior before men. It's our outward expressions of righteous behavior. God, by the way, God still wants Christians to live righteously. Amen. God wants us to live righteously in all that we say and do, where we go, how we spend our money, what we watch, everything. God wants us to live righteously. But then He also says, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our righteousness is our behavior before men, but our holiness is our behavior before God. It's our inward attitude toward God. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's that private part of you. Hey, listen, we ought to be desiring holiness, and all God's people said. And all God's people said, listen, if you're not desiring holiness, if you're not desiring to be with the Lord, you're not growing. Why? Because somebody inside of you named the Holy Spirit is wooing you toward holiness, amen? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's not enough to just put off the old man. We've got to put on the new man. We've got to make the decision, amen? Number three, be renewed. Number one, be renewed. Number two, be putting on the new man. Number three, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have need to give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The third thing is be laboring. Be laboring. Be working. Whatever you do, whatever it is you do, you may work in a cubicle. You may work on a factory floor. You may work at Myers. Amen, young men. Whatever you do, work hard. Amen. Work hard. And you go later into Ephesians. You can look in, as a matter of fact, go over just a page, Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 5 of Ephesians 6, talking about working. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. By the way, that's not always easy. Some of us don't have bosses that are really, well, never mind. We'll just keep moving along there. Amen. I know many times I had massive disagreements with my boss. But you know what it says here? It says, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. When I went to AAA Aircraft, the company I worked at before I came here, they were really nice in the interview process, and I had done this kind of work before, and they just going on, you know, talking all the technical things, and they said, it asked me what kind of employee I would be. And I said, well, I hope that I would be an exemplary employee. I said, because the truth is, I don't work for you, and I won't work for you. And I didn't pause too long lest they said, get out, amen. But I said, I work for God. And I quoted this verse. And I said, and if I work for God, I'll give you a good day's work. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. We ought to be laboring. Clarence Thomas, in a speech, the Associate Justice, said that his grandfather had a principle. And it was, you work, if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah, I wonder where he got that principle. Amen. I've read that somewhere. But then he had a corollary principle that went with it. And it said, when you produce more than you need, you give to those who could not do for themselves. Can I tell you where he got the corollary principle? Ephesians 4:28. Right there in your Bible. Look at it. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I was telling the Merrills today, when I first came, and I saw the operations of the church and things, there were some things that didn't need any changing at all. There's some things that needed some tweaking. And I just was so convinced. I was just so convinced that we could not live without 52 offerings a year on Wednesday nights. I was just convinced that. I said, you know, in my heart, I said, you know, we're going to need to take offerings on Wednesday night. God gives you this verse right here. It says, give to him that have needs. And we have never wanted financially. God has been good to us. Amen. That's the principle right here. Be laboring that you could give to him. Most people work to make a living or to retire, to leave an inheritance or to invest. God said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. You like getting Christmas presents, Uncle Joe. Amen. No, we all do, amen. We all like to receive, but he says it's more blessed to give. Be laboring. Be putting on the new man. Be renewed. Three quick things here. Verse 32. And be ye kind. Be kind. Be kind. Think about that. Kindness is that gentle, gracious, easy to be entreated manner that permits others to be at ease in our presence. Lehman Strauss said that. Great quote. Kindness is that gentle, gracious, easy to be entreated manner that permits others to be at ease in our presence. Hey, listen, let's be kind to one another. If you're not very kind, you're not very spiritual. Amen? If you're not very kind, you're not going to grow like God wants you. Be kind. Listen, we all have differences. We all... I do some marriage counseling and we talk about differences and some people get to this point where their differences become a fracture. You know, you forget that it was your differences that attracted you to one another. Amen. And we're a body. We're not all a hand. We're a foot, we're a knee, we're an elbow. Amen. We're a head, we're a neck, we're a body. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. That's the fifth point. Be tender-hearted. It's a Siamese twin of kindness, tenderness, compassion. Hey, in our church, weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. Amen? Why? It'll develop a kindness, a tenderness in our hearts. Now, by the way, that tenderness, that love is still the best barometer to an unsaved world that we're really the people of God. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that ye have love one for another. And then lastly, be tender-hearted, be kind, be laboring, be putting on the new man, be renewed. Last of all, be forgiving. Be forgiving. It says there, in chapter 4, verse 32, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does that mean I'm not saved, Pastor, if I won't forgive? No. But it means you're not in fellowship with God. Amen? You've let sin pile up between you and your Father. You need to get that out of there. Forgive. Listen, we're all going to be wronged in this life. And all God's people said, you can get better or bitter, but the choice is up to you. You say, I'm not going to forgive, you will be bitter. You say, I'm going to forgive, you'll be better. And listen, the ultimate example, the ultimate scripture is, for Christ's sake, God hath forgiven you. There is nothing in you and I that deserves any bit of forgiveness. But for Christ's sake. So when you forgive somebody, if you can't forgive them for you, forgive them for Christ. Amen? Forgive them because God forgave you. Father,